Well, the question now for sports radio is, what would we have to give up to get to replace? We have to
I mean,
replace Corbin Burns, because if I go to the ballpark on opening day and you're going to tell me this Japanese kid is a fourth or fifth pitcher, because they've given him a lot of money by fan standards, not a lot of money by baseball pitcher standards. But I brought this up. Albert Suarez, you compared him to Albert Suarez, like in some sort of favorable way, which is good with me because I'm Venezuelan and I always want to compare people to Venezuela. So Albert
in the sense
Suarez.
that it's off the beaten path, not in the sense, Albert Suarez got a minor league contract,
I
right? I mean,
want to
this guy
read
got real
something to you
money.
right now. I'm going to read something to, because it gives me a chance to educate myself too here in the offseason. If pronounce his name as best you can, Sugano, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Tomoyuki Sugano.
Tomoyuki Sugano. I'm going to work on that. I'll call him Sugar. It looks like sugar to me. It reminds me of Burt Sugar, who was one of my favorite people. If he were to start 24 games this year, appear in 32, maybe do some cleanup, some bullpen, whatever, and he were to pitch to a sub-4 ERA, let's say 3.7, let's just say 3.7, and he were to go, what do you want, 130 innings? What do you want, 160? How many innings you want out of him?
Sure,
Okay,
why not?
130 innings. Let's say he went 130 innings.
Pitched 156 for in the Japanese League last year.
What if he threw a 1.3 whip, 1.3, 3.70 ERA? Let's say he goes 9-7. I know you're not about record. Let's say he were to do that, 9-7 with a 3.7 ERA, 24 starts. That's a lot of start. That's a fourth or fifth starter, right? I mean, it's what you want. And a little mixy-mixy would come out of the bullpen and help us out. 130 innings sounds to me like a five-inning guy, right? 24 starts, 5 innings would be 125 innings, right? So 5 innings every time he goes out, give or take, and hold you in some ball games. That's a fifth starter, right? That profile I gave you for a good team.
Somewhere like that. I mean,
That's Albert Suarez's line this year, just so you know what I just gave you. I just gave you Albert's. That's what Albert Suarez did this year. Would that be sufficient for Sugano? And if it is, he's not Corbin Burns.
No, of
It's
course.
not.
I mean, I've never argued otherwise. I mean, to me, Sagano is a really good acquisition if he's the second starting pitcher you acquired in an offseason. If you acquired two.
Is
Because
Eflin the first or the second? Because
I mean,
Eflin's an acquisition. You know what I mean? Like, Eflin wasn't
no.
here this time last year. You know what I mean? So, like,
No,
if
because
you're
he was
thinking,
part of
like,
my
well, he
rotation
is
last year.
Burns, in your mind, you said that they replaced Bradish because of the elbow with Burns, and it was a.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know that for sure. I'm just
To
saying
me,
as
the
time.
Eflin thing happens as a, well, we got to set, we got a lot of money into him. He'll be the one. Like, Grayson will
Well,
be the
I mean,
two,
if they're
right?
thinking that, then they are completely lost. Because you need another top. Even if it's not Corbin Burns, you need another guy that profiles as a one or a two, right? I mean, look, all we need to do is look at the last 2 years. I mean, did the Orioles have a true number one pitcher in 2023? They won 101 games. Well, but you could actually argue, go look at his numbers.
He's a
Kyle
Cy
Bradish
Young candidate.
he had a better ERA than Corbin Burns did last year, 2 years ago. No, he was hurt. And best case scenario is maybe he's back in August this year. Within the realm of good scenarios as far as him coming back. So you can't
Very
count him.
hard to lose Cy Young contender pitchers and just rebound from that. You know, we never experienced that as a kid in the
I
70s
know
with
at the same time the
Flanagan or
Texas
Palmer,
at
those
the
guys
same
just
time the
gone, you
I
know?
know, but at the same time the Texas Rangers had nowhere close to a Corbin Burns and they won the World Series just 2 years ago. Right? I mean we this is why I operate thinking more in terms of the aggregate, right? Thinking in terms of the
Collective, yes.
collective. And what I'm telling you right now is they absolutely need a number one, number two type pitcher that, however you want to rank Eflin, Grayson Rodriguez, and this unknown pitcher, this hypothetical pitcher I'm talking about, you need a guy that fits very well. And I would say I'd want to fit ahead of those guys, ideally. But Sagano, again, in a vacuum, I like the move. But if that's, if we're going to do the literal, real simplistic way of saying that's your Corbin Burns replacement, then it's a joke, right? I mean, of course it is. So my point is they've got work to do. And my big picture point that I conveyed a few minutes ago that I'll go back to is if you're not going to invest a long-term contract in a pitcher, fine. How are you going to go about doing this where your starting rotation is going to be tenable year to year and you're not going to be in a position where you're just draining your farm system over and over and over? Now, part of the answer to that, people might not like. You know what part of the answer to that could be, which is how the A's have or not the A's to a point, but they're a weird, whatever they are right now. Let's use the Rays, let's use the Brewers. Cleveland is another example of this. How have teams like that operated, kind of in that universe? They've ended up trading some of their young players once they get closer to free agency. So I hope it's not that. Let me be very clear. I don't want this team to be the Rays. I want them to aim higher for that. I absolutely do. And I've said to you over and over and over that the St. Louis Cardinals to me are the long-term the long-term goal in terms of what the Cardinals have been in the last 25 years, considering the size of
The
their
Cardinals
market.
have become a regional franchise, or not become, they always have
Sure.
been
And
since they
again,
have usual. And the
I know
Orioles
it's
were until the Nationals came.
sure,
And
and
this
I
is
understand
where
that.
I'll make that argument to Mr. Angelos. The only thing he ever said that was accurate was that
Right. But
losing Washington would long term really affect Baltimore's payroll.
my point is, like, the Cardinals have never had the Yes Network, right? I mean, it's never, like, as much as it's regional, it's not
Well, it's run by Greg
lucrative.
Bader now, so I'm sure it'll
Right.
just be great.
So,
It'll be printing money.
but my point with all this is, look, I didn't ex if you asked me at the end of the season if I expected them to re-sign Corbin Burns, I said no. And I even laid out to you the fact that his strikeout rate has declined 4 years in a row or 3 years in a row. And, understanding what you're going to pay for him and understanding what he's probably going to be, even if he stays healthy, you're paying a premium for him to be an ace for a couple more years, and then he's probably more of a middle of the rotation starter after that. And that's still the best case scenario. And let me be very clear. I'm not saying that that means I don't do it 100%, no, never, over my dead body. I'm just saying you have to weigh both sides of it. But that said, if you're not re-signing him, how are you pivoting? And that's where I look at some of the deals that have been made, whether we're talking about, and I'm just using examples here. I'm not saying these were the only choices, but Nathan Eovaldi got a 3-year, $75 million contract. Nathan Eovaldi was the ace for the Rangers 2 years ago. I'll give you one that I think was a really interesting play that I'm fascinated to see how it's going to turn out because I have no idea if he's going to be good, but he could be good and the upside could be outstanding. I thought the Red Sox signing Walker Buehler to a 1-year deal, and I think it was 20, 21 million, something like that. I thought that was a fascinating deal. He was coming back from Tommy John this past year, had a bad regular season, but we all saw how he pitched for the Dodgers in October. And you're wondering, can he get back to being where he was pre-second Tommy John surgery? If he is, I'm guessing the Red Sox are going to love that deal, right? To me, like if you're the Orioles, you got to. And maybe they're telling us with what's happening here, but you've got to figure out what you're going to be identity-wise from a pitching standpoint. We know that they draft hitters. We know they draft college hitters mostly. And we know that they've had a lot of success with doing that. Just look at the All-Stars that they sent last year.
That's why they're winning.
Gunnar Henderson, homegrown. Adley Rutschman, homegrown. Jordan Westberg. And Henderson and Westberg were not top five overall picks either. So they've shown they have an aptitude for doing that. However, what are you doing on the pitching side? If you're not going to spend big money and you've deemed drafting pitchers early to not be the best way to go about building your organization from a player development standpoint and a farm system standpoint. And look, if you remember way back when, they traded Dylan Bundy. It's one of the earlier moves that Mike Elias made. They traded Dylan Bundy and they got Kyle Bradish in that deal. Worked out beautifully, regardless of what's going to happen with Kyle Bradish in the future coming back from Tommy John. But you just look at the way that they've operated and you say, is this going to be a sustainable way to either get over the hump and put yourself in a position where you can win a World Series? Or even if you're putting that part of the argument aside, are you going to be able to maintain the talent pipeline over the next 7, 8, 9, 10 years doing it this way, understanding that the plan is not going to be to be drafting in the top five like you were 2019, 20, 21,
Yeah, that's
22.
what I mean about a
So,
strategy. What does this look
yeah.
like in Mike Elias's perfect mind and Katie
Yeah.
Griggs's perfect mind for the next 3 to 5 years for what's going to happen with the television network, where the revenue's going, what the sales team's going to need to do, and what the real commitment of ownership, because this is their money, and at the end of the
Yeah.
day, we're that's why this is, well, we didn't really want to give it $200 million. It's not my money. I'm not doing that. You know, like it's a billionaire who bought the team, who said he was serious about winning. You see, serious about winning
What's the
means
next
you
step?
need to put more money in than the 10,000 empty seats are producing right now. And
Yeah.
you need to be better at building to get the 10,000 seats from empty to full. And I've been here 40 years. Katie Griggs, you're doing a really lousy job so far. I'm just giving 90 days into this. I'm judging it and saying nothing looks like it changed. You know why? It's not me saying that. It's your fan base. Your
Yeah.
fan base is saying that on my Facebook page. So this continues to be an issue with the Angelos thing and you having a press pass and me not having one. I was their complaint department for 20 years. They just thought I was a dick. No, I opened phone calls and your customers, the people who love the baseball team, would call me and say, "Hey, Nasty, why? 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 Why?" And then I turned to them and there's no one to ask that question to. And that's 30 years of that. And that's the Stockholm syndrome I talk about, where the fan base here, the expectations are so low in even just communicating, being kind is free. And that makes me want to buy a Birdland membership and come down and be a part of things because I feel like I'm a part of things. You want the fans to feel a part of things, make them a part of things. Pretend, lie, do what everybody else does, but be front facing. Be communicative at all times. That's all. And I find that is across the board, it's the hardest thing in life, you know, finding people who are accountable when they lose or when they don't win or when they're disappointed or when things don't go their way. And that to me was what the organization, it felt this weekend like we're going to hide. We didn't get Burns. We're just not going to say anything. We'll tell them we spent more money. That's the Angelo style of, that's the Greg Bader style. That's the old style of communication. If that's the way you want to continue to communicate, you'll have 10,000 empty seats. You'll have pissed off fans until such point where you do go get Dylan Cease or Scooble or get somebody that looks like it's not Doug Drabeck. Yeah, you know, get somebody that Luke and I are on Monday saying, "Whoa, they improved the team." I mean, we're not that hard to please. Our bar's not that high. We're not expecting you to spend $300 million. I wasn't really expecting a $210 million pitcher, but I don't expect excuses when you don't get them either. I expect a pitcher. I expect the 200 innings, sub 3 ERA, 30 starts. That's how you're going to win 98 games next year. Like, if you don't have that, we're baseball people. We know better than Chase, whatever his name was that they brought up here at the end of the year, and these guys that are quad A pitchers that aren't good enough. And we already had a dude, you and I have done 45 minutes. We haven't talked about the bullpen. We have plenty of time to do that in March and April and May, because the bullpen was what you were more
Well,
concerned about
they
back in
are going to have
September.
Felix Bautista back. I mean, that's let's not
What
just
version of that, though?
well, but a version who's had well over a year to rehab from Tommy John surgery. I mean, not like a 10, 11 months. He's had
Right. He's not going to be rushed
he
back,
had
right?
surgery last October.
Right.
So no, but no, I hear everything you're saying. And look, I would even push back a little bit in the kind of communication. To me, it's not even so much that it needs to be a defeatist thing as far as why you didn't get Corbin Burns. Just sell your product, because
Yes.
everything I would say would be, regardless of what happened last October and the 10,000 empty seats that you've talked about at lot. And look, I mean, that was a bad look. No matter how you want to explain it, it's a bad look and it's concerning. However, I would also look at it through the lens of, you've won 202 games the last 2 years. You've got Gunnar Henderson, who is shaping up to be a top five player in the sport. I mean, that's the kind of talent we're talking about. You have Adley Rutschman, who, assuming the last 3 months of this past season was outlier and not like that this guy's washed up at age 26, and I don't think he is or anything like that. He's another he's a top 50 player on the sport if he's right. So the cupboard's not bare here, even with the major question mark as far as the top of their starting rotation. I mean, they still have a lot of talent here, and this is still a team that's capable of being very, very good. But you've got to augment. I remember talking to you about this to at this point now, 2 or 3 off seasons ago, where we were saying, okay, you've drafted, you've developed, you tanked, for lack of a better term. Although, again, 2018 wasn't a tank job. They tried to be good, and the thing got burned down to the studs. But you get to a point where you've done this building and you've got this farm system and you have all these this young core at the major league level that has had success, and you've had success as a club, and you've made the playoffs 2 years in a row. Now, it hasn't worked out in terms of winning in the playoffs, but you've gotten there, and that's a big part of this. Get in the tournament. But we've talked about that inflection point in terms of, okay, how do you start turning up the dial in terms of augmenting, whether we're talking about free agents, trades, all the other ways that you get better other than just drafting and developing. And that's where I still look at this thing and say, what exactly is this going to be? And again, if you asked me on October 3rd, Luke, do you think Corbin Burnes is going to be back? I would have said no. And I would have said that with a lot of confidence. But my issue is, if you truly were in on him, and if we're to believe that they were, and again, as I said to you, even going back several weeks ago, it was my understanding that, they weren't giving up all hope, or they weren't even trying to get Burnes. But you needed, if this is at face value that he wanted to be in Arizona and wanted to be on the West Coast, and so many people had said that even before he signed with the Diamondbacks, you need to be able to read a situation and say, look, we love Corbin, but he doesn't love Baltimore. And look, that happens. And that's not exclusive to Baltimore. That's, there are guys that sign with teams for a variety of reasons. However, as an organization, as a general manager, if you're Mike Elias, you've got to have the wherewithal to recognize that if, short of us giving Corbin $300 million, he's not signing with us. Like, we're not going to win tiebreakers. We're not going to win a little bit more than Arizona or whatever West Coast team that tickles his fancy. But you need to be able to pivot and recognize and not put all your eggs in that basket, because I just named just a couple names. There are a number of guys that could have gone out and signed at this point that would have been a bigger investment than Sagano, but probably would have more upside and would even reinvigorate your fan base a little bit more, I suppose. Although, again, for a lot of people, it was Corbin Burnes or bust. And that is what it is, and I'm not going to tell anyone how to feel. But you just look at this, and again, 3 months until they play a game, and you and I could be recording a segment 3 days from now talking about the fact that they traded for Dylan Cease, or they traded for Luis Castillo, or someone of that ilk that would absolutely slot in
That
at the
was the
top
kind
off.
of thing that the Angelos clan did back in 94, 5, 6, 7, 8. Like, that created this off season of gifts to the fans that made it
I hear you.
feel like Oriole baseball, and it was a year long, and I had to be involved in it. This feels to me, as a guy who's been doing this, and I'm 56 years old and fought with Angelos till onto his deathbed, I'm watching it holistically from the outside. I spent 3 hours 6 weeks ago going over and seeing Mr. Rubenstein give a speech. I have given it, and you know this. I am open-hearted about all of this. I was open-hearted on opening day when I was out there talking to Chris Uhlman about getting my press credential back. But not a lot has fundamentally changed. And every time I would talk to you off the air, on the air, when I talked to people like John Maroon last 2 weeks ago on the air, like Marty Conway and I, like, you people have done a really poor job of thinking a couple of TV commercials in the middle of your games was going to give everybody the idea that Willy Wonka's here and the things are really different, because it really doesn't feel fundamentally different at all. And the 10,000 empty seats as the last act of the fan base, literally, the last act of the fan base was to stay away from a playoff game. From a playoff game. You don't even play playoff games here. Everybody's waiting for the Delmon Young moment until it's 10 bucks and they're, well, I don't know, who can? I mean, That's what Katie Griggs has inherited. Again, against my better angels and my wishes, I've been here every minute of every day for 30 years trying to blow air into that Zeppelin and trying to get it to fly and fly the right way without 10,000 empty seats. Fly in the way that Corbin Burns might want to be here. You know what I mean? Like, fly in a way where you're like, well, he likes sunshine. He like, people signed in Boston. It was cold there. People signed in Toronto. People signed in all
I
sorts of
mean,
places. Like, at some point, you're going to move the
you got to
fence
get
in, move
somebody.
the fence out. You've got a great lineup. It's not like Corbin Burns wouldn't have the confidence to win here, or that he wasn't going to have the bats around him, or that he didn't have a good or bad experience here. Guy like him, if you really want him, love him up, because you can't replace him. Because we woke up today and wife left town
See,
and the cost
see,
of doing business, the
I'll
cost of
disagree with
replacing
it.
those 200 innings is tough.
See, but that's see, I disagree with that mindset that you can't replace him. That you can't have that mindset. You just can't. Because what happens if he has a sore elbow the last week of February? Season
Well,
just
he wasn't
over?
very good in July, right? Or
I mean, he
August.
was terrible in August, right? So believe me, I hear what you're saying. But you know, that's again, for me, this wasn't Corbin Burns or bust. It's you gotta like either you're gonna sign him, but if you feel like you can't do it and you feel like he's not really all that hot and bothered coming to Baltimore unless you're gonna give him 50 million extra than anyone else will, that's fine. Then you need to pivot. You need
You
to
know
make
the old
sure.
way they would do this? They would go sign Mike DeJean and whatever the other guy.
Right.
They would go sign three bullpen guys for $8 million a year and
Right. And I do
say,
wanna
"Hey, we made the bullpen better. We're just going to figure it out with Suarez
Well,
this
that's
year."
kind of
You
what
know.
it's kind of did that with Craig Kimbrel this past year, right? I mean, guys like me were kind of telling you, I don't, you know, I said all along,
You didn't buy that.
I bought it, but I told you all along, I didn't love it thinking that you're going to, you know, I wasn't expecting that they were going to get the Craig Kimbrel of 2016 was my point, and that proved to be correct. And, you know, anyone who followed him the last 5, 6 years knew that. So there's a situation where they threw money at a problem and it didn't work, right? I mean, gave him good money. So one thing I do want to point out, and again, this is where for me, so much of what you're talking about here, as far as selling what you have in terms of being more visible, bring back FanFest, you know, all the different ideas that you could think about, right? Hypothetically, good ideas or bad ideas of the past, you know,
Well, the Ravens
ideas
are owning the
nonetheless.
city right now, and
But
you're allowing
well, I
that.
mean, they're gonna own the city. I mean, every NFL team that's in the
Yeah, you get
playoffs
your
right
own
now.
real estate, though. Get yourself a headline,
I
get yourself a
understand
player.
that, but you know, it's the NFL. We need to, we also need to recognize reality here of the NFL versus every other sport. But that
Oh, I heard
said,
that back in the day. I was never going to compete with BAL too. So, I mean, I the big and little, there's room. There's plenty of
there,
room.
oh, there's room,
The Orioles have all the oxygen they
but
want.
I
They just
don't,
don't want the oxygen.
but my point is, even if the Orioles signed Juan Soto, everyone would still be talking about the Ravens right now because the NFL is king. It's just the truth. That said, that doesn't mean you don't try. Let me be clear.
Doesn't mean
But
Juan Soto's
what,
not out on the field waving to people in the middle of the
I
game, playoff game.
understand. Yeah, okay. That's a $700 million wave. But no, the point, one point I wanted to push back on a little bit, you know, not that I disagree with your point, but were the Orioles at an advantage here compared to where they were 94, 95, 96? Not payroll wise, obviously, and market, you know, they had a much bigger regional, you know, not even a footprint. I mean, it was the Mid-Atlantic they owned. But one thing that team, that era had to do, they had to go out and buy players. Why? Because they didn't have anyone in their farm system. I mean, they had nothing homegrown. They were still holding on to Cal Ripken and Mike Messina at that point, who were already long-term veterans at that point in
Let
time.
me tell you, Luke,
So,
Alex Ochoa
yeah,
going to
Alex
be a great
Ochoa and Damon
home
Buford
player.
and Rocky Coppinger and Mike Oquist,
Yeah,
and
I
go
saw
down the
Rocky
list, right?
Coppinger throw the ball down
Yeah.
there on Bowie. He's throwing the ball well.
And let me be clear. I don't mean that in saying that you don't go out and augment. I absolutely want to see this team go out and augment. My point is, in terms of what they're selling, in terms of what you're mentioning, much more so with Katie Griggs and ownership and marketing and all of that, is they've got a lot to sell as it is. And it doesn't feel like they're taking full advantage of that, right?
You're hired,
It
dude.
doesn't.
You're a new mass and broadcaster. I'm losing. You just keep talking like that. They do have a lot to sell. I
They
agree with you.
do. They
Yeah,
do.
they
But
do. And they should sell it. I
again, so
100% agree
much
with you.
at some point, and we've talked about this. We've talked about this for 2 or 3 winters now. And they've done it some, but not nearly enough, in my opinion. But where do you graduate from heralding your farm system and the next prospect to come? I mean, all these guys are here now, other than Kobe Mayo and Sam Bisaio. And that's not to say they don't have other guys on the way, but the top, the best prospect in baseball guys, Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson, Jackson Holliday, they're here, right? And in the case of Rutschman and Henderson, they're all stars already. In the case of Henderson, he was an MVP candidate this year. So you have a whole lot to go off of. And now for me, and this is where it's disappointing, this brings it back full circle to what you were talking about with David Rubenstein and the new ownership group. This feels like this should be a heck of a jumping off point to go re-sign Corbin Burns, or go sign Blake Snell, or go sign Max Fried, or go sign Nathan Eovaldi and a legit, middle of the order bat.
Bring me some
There are
Christmas gifts, dog.
lots of different ways to do it, right? And that's where I look at this and say, look, I like Tyler O'Neill if he stays healthy. That's a big if. I like the Sogano signing from the standpoint of if that's the second starting pitcher you're bringing in to augment what you already have, which, it's not like the cupboard's bare. I like Zach Eflin a lot. I still like Grayson Rodriguez's potential a lot. Dean Kramer has more than proven himself as at least a solid back half of the rotation guy. I don't like him as a number three as he's presently slated to be, but I even some of the other guys they have, I mean, Cade Povich finished the year well. I'm fine with him competing as the number five starter potentially, but I don't want to just hand jobs to three guys where you say, well, maybe they'll do it. Maybe Albert Suarez will be good again. That's not how you want to operate. You want to have enough. And my goodness, if 2024 didn't teach the Orioles the lesson that you need so much pitching, because that team on paper, when they got Burns, think about it. It was Corbin Burns, Kyle Bradish, Grayson Rodriguez, John Means, and Dean Kramer. I mean, that was your five on paper from the day that they acquired Burns. Now, 2 weeks later, we found out that Bradish's elbow was not great, and we knew that John Means was having issues coming back from Tommy John, and ultimately ended up having to get it
Throw
again.
Tyler
Now,
Wells in
unfortunately,
there.
and Tyler Wells was healthy at that point in time. But the point is,
Well, they had a lot of arms and now they don't. And 9 months later, smart people like you and me look at it and say,
you need a lot of arms, and right now you don't have that. You have, look, again, I love the Eflin move. I was talking about Eflin a month before the trade deadline. I thought that was the kind of move that made sense for the Orioles, and to their credit, they bought someone, with, some prospects, and they got someone who was under team control for another year. They couldn't have, even if the Bradish thing did prompt them to get Corbin Burns, as I've speculated about. Again, I don't know that. That's just conjecture from me, just looking at the timing of those two moves.
getting a number one starter in
Even,
exchange for a shortstop you were never going to use is.
that was a great move, 10 out of 10, R regardless of Burns walking after a year. That was, I have zero issue ever with that. That was a good move. Corbin Burns gave them exactly what they asked for. But going into the season, they could have never expected and anticipated the degree of injuries that they had. And that's where I will stick up for them a little bit in how they ultimately finished, right? I mean, they were decimated by injuries. And by the end of the year, you did look at their ceiling and kind of say, it's not going to result in a deep October run. I didn't think they were going to get swept, but if they had gone past Kansas City, I
Their
fully
pitching was
expected them.
fine. It turned out to be the hitting that wasn't
Sure,
there.
sure. And there's another lesson there. Like, have they done enough offensively when you look at it through that lens? I mean, is Tyler O'Neill replacing Anthony Santander? I mean, they do have a bunch of young position players who it's reasonable to expect those guys to get better, or most of those guys to get better. So there's meat on the bone. Again, the cupboard's not bare here.
I expect Jackson Holliday to go to the Hall of Fame. He's
I mean,
beginning
I
to
don't know
hit
about the
runner
Hall of
yet.
Fame, but I expect him to be an above average player this year. Whereas he was, below replacement level for a lot of, he was 20. I understand that. I mean, for every 20-year-old that looks like Juan Soto, you have guys that look like that, but a year or two later, they're everything you thought they were going to be. So it's not, and this is part of their problem. To your point, talking about the messaging and just selling their product in general. Even with the disappointment of Burns, there's still a lot to be excited about with this team when you look at just how what's already in place. But you got to take that next step to get to the next level. And it looked like they had done that with Burns, and that's great. It didn't work out because everyone, Bradish got hurt and Tyler Wells got hurt and Grayson Rodriguez missed the last 2 months of the season, all that. We all know what happened. So sometimes it's not going to work out. But now the last thing you want to do is say, okay, well, that was our example of, quote, going for it, getting Corbin Burns. And now we're just going to try to, piecemeal this thing, piecework this thing together. And that's where you look at it and say, it's not enough right now. And I don't think anyone, even the biggest orange colored glasses, optimist right now looks at their rotation and says that it's nearly good enough. And I would hope that's the case for Mike Elias and Sig Meidel right now too. But you gotta go get someone. And we're about six and a half, six and a half weeks out from the start of spring training. You certainly don't want to be in a position like what happened last year with Jordan Montgomery with the Diamondbacks, who was terrible. And you don't want to be signing someone late or acquiring someone the third week of March. Whoever it is, you want to have them in camp. You want to have them in Sarasota on day one, so that they can, you can work with them and you can tweak whatever you want to tweak, because they tweak all pitchers, because they do things a certain way. And that's why they are able to get Albert Suarez to pitch the way that he did this past year. They've got the special sauce, so to speak, for these various guys, but you still have to have something to work with. And again, Sagano, I mean, I don't mind that move. I think it's got the potential to think about it. I think back a decade ago, I guess now it's 12 years ago, the Orioles signed Wei-Yin Chen, a Taiwanese pitcher who was pitching in Japan, and he was a terrific signing. You can make signings like that that are kind of off the beaten path. I mentioned Albert Suarez just as an example of a minor league deal, but you can't put all your eggs in that basket. Those aren't guys that you're going to pencil in for 175 innings. I mean,
Even if you give them $18 million.
if you do that, then oh my gosh, great. But you can't
Well, I went
expect
through
that.
this with Suarez, and we'll take a break on this and end our year, come back and argue later. But 130 innings, 3.7 ERA, 1.3 WHIP.
I
That
mean, do we think he's,
Suarez.
do we think he's, do we think he's going to do that again at his age?
Oh, I don't know. I
I'd
but do
bet,
we think
I would bet no,
the
though.
Japanese pitcher's a year older than him?
And that's fair. That's fine too. Look, again, and that's why I said, even for me, again, I'm looking within the realm of good outcomes, the range of good outcomes, right? Any pitcher can get hurt and never pitch for you, or anyone could be a Cinderella all-star, right? I suppose. In the case of Sagano, to me, the best case scenario is he ends up becoming a really dependable number four, number five starter. And look, you need that. You absolutely need that. Albert, that's why Albert Suarez was so wildly valuable for them last year, because he filled that need for them. I mean, at times he was better than their number four, number five. But at the same time, I can't look at that signing objectively, talking about someone who's 35 years old and has never pitched in the majors, even if he does have a heck of a track record and success in pitching in Japan. That's not your Corbin Burns replacement. That's your replacement for what you thought John Means was going to be,
Wei-Yin
maybe
Chen was
for
their
you
number
last
four
year.
starter. So enough
Yeah.
said.
So
All right.
we're going to see. But again, Corbin Burns or no Corbin Burns, like, what's the pivot? What's next? You missed out on him. Hey, some other teams did too. There were other teams trying to sign Corbin Burns, but you can't sit there licking your wounds and saying, "Well, we tried." You got to go make your next move. So they've got 3 months to do that. And really, they've got a month and a half to do that, because you want to have them ready for spring training, whoever you get. So I don't know exactly who it's going to be, but yeah, the clock is ticking. And in the meantime, yeah, you've got a frustrated and disappointed fan base. And I can't blame the fan base for that. Even if myself personally, I never viewed it through the lens of Corbin Burns or bust, but you got to replace him at the very least. And well, Tomoyuki Sugano is not sufficient in doing that. I think that's stating the obvious.
All right, Happy New Year, everybody. We just crushed an hour of Orioles conversation at an elite level for all of you during an elite playoff week here as the Ravens get after the Browns on Saturday afternoon. Luke and I will be monitoring all things NFL as well as the Orioles all week long. If you're on the WNST text service, I have a commercial made now. You can text me right now, 410-821-9678. All you have to text is WNST or the word join, join, and you're in. And you'll get the breaking news when they sign, I don't know, when they make the trade for Dylan Cease. I'll just throw that out just for fun at the end of the year, so that when they actually do it, I have to praise them for doing that, even if they give up Jackson Holliday for that. He is Luke. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. It's House in Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore Orioles, Baltimore Positive. Happy New Year.